This ain't a diss song. But, yeah, uh-huh, you know what it is. I'm a cheesehead, y'all do the cheese whiz. Pittsburgh Steelers.
Alex G getting all excited right now.
I love this song. This came out when the Packers won the Super Bowl, and I was in middle school. I mean, I was lit.
He's Alex G. I am Jim Rutledge. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light. The Mountains are blue. You know what to do.
And that's Crush a Coors Light.
We are live in the Everlight Solar Studio. I could use a Coors Light. Instead, I'll just drink some water, Prime. You're the problem. Primetime Laura Sean behind the glass. And we are thrilled to be joined by the director of a pretty exciting movie, a much hyped movie in the Wisconsin area, coming out nationwide tomorrow. And you can learn more at greenandgoldmovie.com. But we're joined by Anders Lindwall. Anders, thank you so much for taking the time as your movie is gaining traction and gaining notoriety and winning some awards. We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Howdy. Yeah, no, so stoked to be here. Thanks for having me, guys.
So I guess the first question I'll ask, and then, G, you're the big Packer fan here, so you can dig a little bit deeper, but what made you pick this topic, and what was the connection for you? Why did you want to tell this story?
Yeah, my brother and I grew up in the UP, so just north of Wisconsin. So yeah. This is our home turf, and, you know, 2 hours north of Green Bay. And yeah, our grandfather was a dairy farmer, and we love it up north there. We love it so much, and grew up as just diehard Packers fans. And so, you know, we, as independent filmmakers, you're just always looking for a story that resonates close to home as you can possibly get. So, you know, we couldn't believe there hadn't been, you know, like a Packers type movie specifically with their fans, or about their fans really ever on the, you know, on kind of like a real large Hollywood scale. So that we got excited thinking about being able to try to get into that world and tell a story that has a lot of meaning to us and is about the people that we grew up around and love. So.
Right. And so as you started to like think about it, obviously this is based on a true story, but where did you find the inspiration to, you know, really dig into the Green Bay Packers and their relationship with these farmers?
Yeah. So it's inspired by true events. I should clarify. So there's no farmer that necessarily made the exact bet on the Green Bay Packers, yeah. but you know, it is inspired by the true events of loss of small farms in America. It is based on a literal season in the 90s that we're trying to keep a little bit under wraps for spoiler alert stuff. But but yeah, I think I forget your original question about it, but just I think. Yeah, maybe. Can you remind me?
Oh, yeah. It was just where did you pull the inspiration and like how did this come to be?
Yeah. You know, I mean, I think for anybody who grows up as a Packers fan, I think it's just like, you know, that type of community, that type of crowd that exists up there is so unique. And I think it gets misrepresented whenever it is in media that when we've seen it played. So, you know, some of that upper Midwest is kind of this hokey and everybody's got a real thick accent and that kind of thing. And it's like, the people that I grew up around, I mean, there's certainly some accents here and there, but it's, you just have such a depth and a richness. And, you know, with the Packers being the only community owned sports franchise in America, it's like that is such a, like a meta narrative that needs to be told. That's such a beautiful, beautiful picture of what a representation of that area.
So. And you grew up in the UP. Were you in a split like county area where it was like more Packers fans or Lions fans? How was that?
Totally. Yeah. You know, cause we were right on the border of Wisconsin. I tend to think it was probably like 70% Packer fans in our town anyways, but you know, there was definitely some Lions representation. And I think I've been told it's actually depending on what county you were in, was you would get different broadcasts. Back when I was a kid, I don't remember. We were only fed Packers games. So I think some counties north of us, you know, they're on also Eastern time zone. They were fed the Lions games. And so I think that was sort of how it was split.
Talking with Anders Lindwall, the director of Green and Gold, of the Green and Gold movie, and one of the names, and you know, I grew up in Wisconsin. I watched this show, I think it was called Coach, with Craig T. Nelson, and I just think there is a little bit of kismet or whatever, that tie-in. Obviously, he's a farmer in this movie, but having him, who played a Minnesota coach forever, with this tie to the movie for the Packers, was this, how did you get him? What was the excitement? How was he to work with? Because obviously, he's a pretty legendary, I mean, Parenthood, the TV show as well, and Coach are two of the most famous things he's done, but he's got a long and pretty impressive IMDb.
Yeah. No, I mean, when you have when you have coach who's doing who's doing a movie about the Green Bay Packers, you know, it's kind of, it is a nice, there's something really sweet about it. I have one of my dreams, and I haven't been able to actualize it because, you know, the Packers were playing, but as our marketing, I was like, I would love to get LaFleur, have it like coach and coach sit down and talk about the overlap of arts and athletics. And, but yeah, I think, you know, he was the best, and we wanted him from the beginning. You know, he is a sports nut too, so he understood. That was one of the things he said right away. He's like, I actually knew like some of the old Packers players back, you know, I don't, whenever it was 60 years ago. So he's a sports nut. So he understood that part of the character, because it's a character who, you know, the character is this old Luddite farmer who wishes it was the 1800s almost, but if he could keep the Green Bay Packers as a part of it, that's what he would, you know, he names his cows after the 68 championship team. He's just obsessed with the Packers. And so, Craig was the perfect fit because he's just, you know, he's been around forever. He's kind of this old school guy, but also understands the spiritual connection to athletics. So
absolutely. And you got to work with, like, film at Lambeau, is that correct?
We filmed outside of Lambeau. At that point, we didn't have a full partnership with the Packers, and we were a little scared of being totally sued by the NFL and the Packers. Or, you know, it was like, we didn't know what we're doing. You know, we're trying to figure this out. So we didn't want to stir up any pot that we couldn't handle. It was like a tailgate scene that's outside, but you see Lambeau in the background. And but my dream, if I had the partnership with the Packers we have now, it would be like reshoot that scene with like the perfect Packers Bears game, bitter cold, steam coming out of the urinals, that kind of thing. So.
that's a fantastic thing to remember, the steam coming out of the urinals. Back when they were
those
the trough urinals,
too. Yeah, those dazzling
details.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Absolutely. The trough.
So you have a good relationship with the Packers now. How important were they in all of this? I mean, just how was it working with them?
Oh, it was awesome. I mean, it took forever because, you know, to be fair to them, it's like they're just trying to win championships. That's their focus, right? And then we're this random independent movie who would like knock on their door and be like, hello. You know, we were, it was originally called God Loves the Green Bay Packers. And that was one thing that they were, their lawyer was like, I really don't like that, you guys. Could you change that? And I was like, definitely. I would definitely love to change that. And because we it was like the spirit of the film is so integrated to the Packers organization. It was just it took a while to like find the right person in the midst of their busyness and their chaos, and me, this like independent filmmaker, just knocking on their door enough times for them to kind of see like, oh yeah, we could see how this would actually be a really great thing to be a part of. And once they, I think once they saw it in the right lens and had the right view of it, and we could work out the right partnership. They've been just so awesome. Specifically, their corporate partnership team is unreal. Like, bend over backwards to do whatever they can to help us get the word out. And, you know, we rallied a red carpet event there at Lambeau. And I think for them, they just, it was like all hands on deck helping us move chairs. And it was awesome. So.
And then,
yeah, we're forever indebted.
I mean, that sounds awesome. But do you have to be a Packers fan to like this movie?
I don't think so. I mean, I grew up as a University of Michigan fan, and I love the movie Rudy.
Okay. All right.
You know, it was like, I think I can appreciate all sports. And maybe the younger kids will have a harder time with it. I feel like when I was younger, maybe it was harder to get on board with some of that stuff or get over your ego. But I think, you know, we take the nick out of the Bears a little bit here and there, but it's pretty small. And we avoid the Lions altogether. I think that's a good thing this year because it's probably pretty raw from everything. So, but I, you know, in general, I do think it's not. I think Packers fans, it's kind of, it's like your home video. I think for other people, it's like they can still be in the room and enjoy it and appreciate it because it's really a family story. It's a story about farming and the beauty of community.
Talking with Anders Lindwall, the director of Green and Gold Movie. It is at the AMC and the Marcus starting tomorrow, so you can go see that in the Madison area. You're just reading the IMDb, because we don't give away too much, but a struggling family farmer wages everything on a high-stakes championship bet while his granddaughter's musical ambitions could be their ticket to a new beginning. And I want to ask about the radio host and role in there. And I know Charlie a little bit, but I wanted to ask though. So what about Brian's song? Because I'm a Bears fan. I'm going to watch this because I grew up in Wisconsin, so I feel like the Wisconsin ties, and as much as like I don't root for the Packers, I know the lore and I know the history, so it's going to intrigue me on that level. But, you know, you mentioned, so what about Brian's Lie? That's one that's very Bear-centric. Is that one that you've seen, the old TV movie?
I haven't. I don't know that one, actually.
Oh, really? Wow. So it's a it's based off a book, I Am Third, from Gail Sayers, about him and his best friend, a fullback for the Chicago Bears, Brian Piccolo. It starred James Caan and Billy Dee Williams back in the 70s. That's the one you want to see, not the more modern one. And it's a true life story about Brian Piccolo, a fullback for the Bears, who passes away from, I think, leukemia like during the season. And so it's there. Wow. Basically, it's there. Same idea, though, that you said this is about family and friendship and all. That's about, obviously, the Bears is part of it, but it's very much about the human side of things. So, well, now, see, I get the recommendation from you to see your movie, and I'll throw one out to you.
It's throw them back.
Yeah, from the 70s.
I'm such a bad director. I've seen so few movies.
Better director. It's all fresh then to you. But I saw that the role here, it says Charlie Barron's radio host. So without giving away the movie, what's that kind of role, and what was the drive to have that character in there, and how do you like move the story and everything?
Yeah, totally. So we grew up, our town had a little radio show called Telephone Time that was on Monday through Saturday, like 8 a.m. till I think 11 or 12, and it was just people calling in to chat, to talk about things, to buy, sell stuff. Yeah. And it was just always so, like, it's still going on, it's not that hasn't stopped, and it's just such a lovely just again, like a representation of the area and a way to talk about what's going on. And for I guess it's hard, I can't go into too much of it for spoiler stuff, but it plays a really big role. And specifically farmers always have their radios on in their barns. If you've ever been inside like a dairy, they're always milking and their radio's just blaring. And so kind of having this voice of like this radio who's there the whole time in the whole film, it was like, who do we want for that role? And it, who other than Charlie Barron's?
No, that was a perfect pick for it. Fans will recognize it. But also, you hit a home run with that idea, just from like hearing you describe it. So our company's Good Karma Brands, and we started actually in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin. And the stations we have, like, they have the polka show, the farm report show. They have shows with Lost and Found, and people have been like, I lost my cat. They're like, oh, I saw a cat on this street. Like, they're still doing that. We still own that station. That still happens in Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, which is about an hour north of Madison. Amazing. So, like, you hit a home run on that, because that's exactly a thing that is still going on. And obviously, that station's been around for 60, 70, 80, maybe 100 years. So, long before we bought it. So, that idea to put that in there was obviously, I think, a great device to kind of move the story along, because it's still a big thing.
Yeah, and it's such a cool, I don't know, it's like, it's, there's something about radio, I mean, maybe I'm preaching to the choir here, but it's like you pay attention to it differently when you only have, that's your only sense that's taking it in, versus like news on the TV or kind of thing. There's something really special about it. So
yeah, we call it personal, intimate. It's your people. You, like, as someone who grew up listening to radio, I feel like I know people that I listen to on the radio, and we run into it now when people come talk to us. So yeah, no, totally get that aspect of it. So again, this is coming out tomorrow, and again, I do see it's at the Marcus and the AMC in the Madison area. What else would you like us to, or let our fans know about this movie before we let you go here?
Yeah, that's like, I mean, there's so much, like for us, this has been like our last 5 years of grinding every single day on it. I think that's, it's a medium that's underappreciated, maybe like all things, it's like, but we've slaved over this thing, trying to make it authentic as we can. And hopefully it's, kind of a love letter to this area. That's maybe, we keep saying that I hope people can watch it and feel nostalgia for it. And, a lot of our friends who've screened it, that lived in Los Angeles and they've helped on the project, they're like, man, this makes me want to move back. And so maybe it can help boost tourism and boost the state of Wisconsin. But I think just, ultimately just give people a renewed sense of hope and goodness in the world that I think is just rich and ripe in that culture up there. Come check it out, support it in theaters. Maybe that's one of the other things is, we're an independent, tiny independent film that got 1,000 screens, and we're up into Canada now too.
Nice.
It's like crazy how it happened. And we're competing against, you know, just mega, you know, minimum $25 to $30 million movies. And so we're like slugging it out with those guys in the theaters for, I think we're like 4 to 7 days is how much we're guaranteed. And then they re-up after that if we're performing well. So, as fast as you can get to a theater, that I would really appreciate it.
Yeah, so we'll throw that out there again. The Marcus Point in Madison and in Sun Prairie and the AMC in Fitchburg all have show times for it, and that all starts tomorrow.
That's awesome.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Thanks so much for your time, man.
I have
one question for you, though, before we let you go. So you grew up in a small town, too. Did you have – I was talking about this earlier, and I was getting a lot of flack. I would get Oreos every time I went to – the dry cleaner with my parents. Did you have anything like that?
Where like unwrapped,
completely random food at like at an entirely unrelated spot?
I'm trying to think if we. It probably did, and I just like don't. I don't have it in my head.
Most of us don't have that story. I grew up in a small town in Wisconsin. Well, I was not just handed random.
But like, there was also a local restaurant that would just give fudgesicles to kids as they walked by. I mean, like small town community stuff.
Yeah. Oh, there's random stuff like that. I remember going in recently to get like a shot. Like I had to get like a booster or some kind of flu shot.
Sure.
And they just like walked out in the middle of the store in the aisles. Like, and they're like, well, is this good? You want it here? Oh, I thought we'd go into like a room somewhere and do this. they're like, no. I was like, okay, we'll just, yeah, thanks. You know, that kind of thing. So, man, there's so many things that I just love it so much. It feels like small towns feel like the final frontier of America to me.
They're fantastic.
Yeah. No, I think that's a great way to describe it. Anders, thanks so much, and good luck. Hopefully people show up. They keep in theaters even longer.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Thanks for helping us get the word out and having me on here.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. That's Anders Lindwall, Green and Gold movie. He's the director. It comes out tomorrow. Again, the Marcus and the AMC theaters are two places you can see it in the Madison area. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light.
You're listening to Jim, Matt, and Molly, presented by Coors Light on 100.5 ESPN, ESPN Madison on YouTube, and Wisconsin On Demand.